Good morning. Amen. What a wonderful song. What an encouraging song that is. You know how God is. There will be requirements. We have requirements that we have to meet. But if we meet those requirements, He will bless us and He will help us. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so we want people to be drawn to Christ because Jesus Christ is the answer. And so we want to lift Him up. We want folks to get the answer to the equation. Many people need it, whether they know it or not. I'm here this morning by the help of the Lord. I'm wanting to be an encouragement and a blessing to you this morning. And so I'm desiring your prayers. The message that I have from the Lord this morning is entitled More. M-O-R-E, I underlined it. You don't have to, but I underlined it, and I put an exclamation mark behind it because I want us to know that God has more. He has more, and He has more. Be praying for it this morning. God has more of whatever it is that we need. If you need more grace, God's got more grace. You need more love, He's got more love. If you need more mercy, if you need more strength, if you need something temporal, many times our needs pertain to this life, but God has not just what we need, but He has what is called exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. And so I want you to get a hold of that this morning. That scripture is found in Ephesians 3:20. I want you to take a look at that scripture. I don't care how much you may need. I don't care how many times you have come to the Lord with a need before Him. He's got more of whatever it is that you need. He's got too much of what you need. One reason why that is because He is the creator of everything. And so if He didn't have enough, He could create more. One reason why that is because there's a lot of people running around here and they're not tapping into what God has for them. And so there's more because of that. And so I don't want you to be one of those people where you need more from the Lord and you're not asking for it. You're not putting in for it. You're not meeting the requirements that it's going to take for you to get more. May the Lord help us this morning. God has more. Sometimes we come before the Lord and we're kind of sheepish and we're kind of nervous. Lord, do you have what I need? Do you have enough of what I need? I know I asked you last week for something and you blessed me there and the week before and on and on. And so, Lord, you may be getting tired of me. Lord, you may be running out of what it is that I need. I want to encourage you this morning. He's not tired. He's got plenty of what it is that you need. Praise God this morning. God has more of whatever it is that you may need. Pray the Lord this morning. I want to talk about that scripture. It says in Ephesians 3:20, what does it say? May the Lord help us.
Now unto him that is able to
unto him that is able
exceeding
to do exceedingly
abundantly
above all that we can ask or think,
according to the power
that worketh in us. Praise the Lord. He's got a lot, doesn't he? That's what this verse is talking about. It's talking about exceeding. Exceeding means greater in number or size, quantity than any other quantity or number. And so if you had 1,000, it'd be 1,001 all the way to infinity. If you had 1,000,000, it'd be 1,000,001 all the way to infinity. If you have infinity, you have infinity plus. That's what I want you thinking about in terms of more. God has more. May the Lord help us this morning. And so sometimes we are afraid that God's going to run out of, but God's got what goes beyond what is allowed or stipulated by a set limit, especially of one's authority. God has the authority to give you whatever it is that you need in abundance. May the Lord help us. Abundantly means in large quantities. It means plentiful. It means large amount. Above means higher than. So whatever it is that you need, I want you to be thinking in terms of whatever it is that you need, whatever seems to be difficult, whatever seems to be impossible. May the Lord help us. God has what you need, and He's got way more than what you could ever desire, way more than you could think or ask for. All right? I know it doesn't seem like that. I'm going to talk to you plain this morning. Many times when we're faced with problems and issues, it does not seem like God has enough. I'll be honest with you this morning. But according to the word of God, according to His great and precious promises, and backed by every child of God that is in heaven now, that proves that God has more of whatever it is that you need. Because we're all going the same way. They got there just like we're going to get there. And if they got there and they had needs and God met their needs, may the Lord help us this morning. He will meet your and my needs. May the Lord stand by and be with us this morning. I want to encourage you that He's got abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I can ask for a lot. I really can. I'll be thinking about a lot too. My sister said I got a big head. I don't know what we're comparing it to, but I know it's not small. Thank the Lord. Amen. He gave me more in that capacity, didn't He? Thank the Lord. I needed it. May the Lord help us this morning. Now, I want to talk about four things specifically, but I want you to remember that if He's got it in the spiritual, He definitely has it in the natural. If you forget about it, I want you to start studying your surroundings. Not just your immediate surroundings, but start looking into what God has done when He made this earth. Okay. Matter of fact, they said that they found a reservoir of water underneath the ground. I'm not talking about the oceans or the lakes or the springs or the ponds, but they have recently found a reservoir of water that is more water than we have, that we can see on the surface. Amen. Right. Remember that when it said when the flood came, if water came up from the deep, as well as from above, well, they found some of that water. God has more. I want you to get encouraged this morning. I want you to know that God has it for you. I don't want you discouraged. I asked the Lord, I will tell you something. When I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me something to encourage the saints of God. Yes. Look like they need some encouragement, Lord. And so this is what He gave me. So I want to give it to you this morning. I want to take the cap off your mind. I want to take the barriers off your mind. I want to remove them. And I want you to know that God can do it and God has it for you. May God help us this morning. All right, so I want to talk about four things. I want to talk about grace and love. I want to talk about strength. And I want to talk about the last one would be grace, love, strength, and mercy. All right, because we need all of those things. There's all kinds of things that we need. And I'm not excluding those things, but those are the things that God brought to my heart to talk about this morning. All right, so it says here, grace. In my notes, it says, grace is God's unmerited favor. And I've said that many times. What unmerited means is we don't deserve it, but He gives it anyway. And that is each and every one of us. I don't care how much good you've done. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care about any of that. None of us are worthy of the grace of God. It's unmerited, but God gives it anyway. He loves us, all right? And so we are all on the same playing field in terms of God's grace extended towards us. All right. Doesn't matter your position. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. God loves us all and He extends grace unto us all. So that's God's unmerited favor. All right. And so it's also His presence, His salvation that He bestows and His blessings. All right. And so that's what grace is. What I call grace also, from what I've seen, is grace is the multi-tool. All right. You ever seen those multi-tools where it's got a hammer on there, it's got a screwdriver, it's got a Phillips head, it's got a flathead, it's got all those different things. So what I'm saying grace is grace is When God administers grace, his unmerited favor, whatever the problem might be, it will administer to that problem, whatever it is. So we can't come to God with anything that he hasn't seen before, and we can't come to God with anything that grace will not apply to. All right? Matter of fact, when you remember back in the day, I want to talk about grace a little bit more. I didn't know I was going to bring this up, but I thought about this. This came to my mind. They would come before, and in the olden days, they'd come before the king or the pharaoh, right? And before you can even have an audience or get to state your need before the king had a scepter. Anybody know what that scepter was for? All right, he'd authorize whether or not if he having a bad day and he don't want to hear what you got to say today, then he's just gonna say, no, don't let him come on in here. I don't want to hear what they got to say. But grace is when we come before the king, God Almighty, his scepter is in the right place. And what that means is it allows us to have an audience with God. That's what grace is as well. All right, so when we come before God, we're seeking his grace. But just like anything else, there are requirements to get the grace of God applied to our lives.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were the king and somebody come before you. If they coming before you, they got a need. They got some kind of crack. They got something going on, right? That's already applied. And they come in there all proud and you better have let me come in here and listen to what I got to tell you, because if you don't, then I'm going to do something. You know, we can do God that way, can't we?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Ain't think about it that way. God resists who?
The proud,
but give grace to the humble. So the requirement is humility. If you're coming to God anyway, you already got something going on that you need help with.
Yes.
You need to acknowledge that to yourself before you even come before God.
Yes.
Sometimes you can't get it. It's not that God doesn't have the grace. God has the grace. He's got grace and faith. He's the one that decides who gets in and who doesn't. All right? But we can come to God in such a way that it keeps us from getting what it is that we need, or him even hearing what we have to say. All right. Stay with me. The scripture said God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And so if I'm in a place where I need help before the Lord, I need God's grace administer to my life in this situation, but I come to him in the wrong way, God is actually, and he doesn't normally do this, but he actually resists us.
Yeah.
May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the problem that we have, we're coming at God in the wrong way, with the wrong attitude. We need to do something about that. Why? So the first thing we do not despair. Do not despair. Let me be clear here. You can humble yourself.
Yes.
You can say, Lord, I'm sorry. My attitude ain't right. My heart ain't right. I got the big head. Lord, I'm asking you to help me to humble myself. He will hear that. Amen. Let me give you scripture for that. James 4:6. You don't have to go to it. I'm just giving it to you. But I want you to pay special attention also to 1 Peter 5:5. Because that's where it talks about he resists the proud.
Amen.
All right. And so sometimes we're not getting what we need, not because God doesn't have it, but because we haven't met the requirement of humility before God. Again, think about the person coming before the king, or maybe in our vernacular, you need something before the president, and you're going to come in before the president, you just start pointing the finger, start yelling at him, telling whoever it is. You see what I'm saying? They're going to grab you, pick you up, and throw you out.
Yes. Amen.
They will.
Yeah.
All right? And so we have to have the mindset when we come before God, it's not whether or not does he have the grace, but he has more grace. And Lord, how do I get to that grace? I'm the one that needs the grace. And so it says, he gives more grace. I want you to hold on to that. In James 4, it says, God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace. Now, sometimes what happens in our Christian experience, initially, we had a spirit of humility, and we were low before the Lord. We were in a spirit of meekness before the Lord. So guess what? We had the access to the grace.
Yes.
All right. But what can happen is, somewhere along the way, old self want to rise up, little bit of pride want to get in there and start working, and we lose that access that we once had. Listen, can I help you with this morning? This is not uncommon. Okay? This happens all the time. I don't know if I'm the only one that talks about this, but I got it. We as Christians have to live a day-to-day experience.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says to die daily. It says deny yourself daily.
Amen.
Because yesterday you had all the grace you needed. Yesterday you had all the meekness, all the humility you needed, and you done well. But today, though, the challenges that you have met today, something got to you, and pride lifted up its ugly head, and now as pride goes up, grace begins to go out the door.
Amen.
Lord, help us. But you say, Lord, I'm still saved, and you are.
Yeah.
You're still saved, but you have to meet the condition in order to get what it is that you need.
Amen.
May the Lord help us.
Praise the Lord.
God has grace. He has more grace. Yeah. But am I meeting the condition? Now, I ain't asking, did you meet it yesterday? I'm talking about today. I'm talking about now.
Yes.
May the Lord help us.
Yes.
Moving forward, next thing. More love. God has all the love we need. This is fortunate for us. Because even people that love us, and even people that we love, we can exhaust there are natural stores of love. Right? Some people are easy to love.
Yeah.
And some people are not easy to love.
Lord have mercy.
Some people are both. Sometimes they're easy to love. Sometimes they're not. What is a natural response to someone? I said a natural response. And you can be honest this morning. What's a natural response to somebody that is difficult to love after you tried to extend love to them 4 or 5 times? Talk to me, huh? Be down with them.
Amen.
I love them, but I'm going to love them from over here with these plugs in my ears and my back turned. Huh? Because they're not easy to love. I keep extending this love. I keep extending this love. And they keep taking it, throwing it on the ground, and stomping on it, and squashing it. Okay? May the Lord help us.
Yes.
What do you think we did to God while we were yet sinners?
Yes. Lord have mercy. Yes.
We weren't thinking of it that way. We didn't identify ourselves with somebody that was crucifying the Lord afresh. We did not see ourselves in that way, and we do not see ourselves in that way, even if we're in that condition. But that's what's happening. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and come and open the door, I'll come into him, I'll settle him, I'll make my bow with him. And so when we resist God, and he keep coming to us and keep dealing with us and keep extending mercy and grace and kindness and blessing our lives. Because God is a faithful God.
Yes.
Even in sin, he'll bless our lives.
Yes.
Yes.
He won't give us everything we want, but he will bless our lives. He does that. We still keep eating. We still got a place to live. And sometimes it takes for him to allow us to really come upon hard times before we realize that, wait a minute, he's been blessing me this whole time.
Yeah.
The point is if God is calling for us, let's go to it, John, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love who?
one another.
Amen.
For love is of who? Of God. And everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God, right? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Is that in there? All right, and so what God does is, I want you to get a hold of this, he's not going to require anything of you or anything of me that he is not willing to either do himself or had done himself already. And along with that, he will help us to do what it is that we need to do in order to be successful. All right? So we're talking about more, are we not? In that scripture, in verse number 8, what does the last portion of that scripture say? God is love. You think he got enough love for you? Huh? You think he got enough? Is it possible? Because in our minds, that person that get on our everlasting nerve that we've been trying to love all this time and they ain't getting it, because that's what's happening, they ain't getting it. It's the truth. Yeah. It's the truth. They're not getting it. And so we see that and we say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. And I don't even think God will require me to keep on loving this person.
Lord,
but that ain't how he did us.
No, amen.
And he said, we don't even know him if we don't love like this. I didn't say it was easy. I did not say that. I'm saying that it's possible through Christ.
Amen.
All right. There are requirements to having the love of God.
Yeah.
He loves us anyway. But if we want to get more love, we got to get in a position where God can give it to us.
Yeah.
I promise you that if you don't have salvation, you know, I'm sorry, but this is true. You're not going to love like you need to love. You'll have some version of it. Or you'll have some perversion of it. But you're not going to have the kind of love that God is requiring for you to have. So you need salvation. This is why, and young people, I don't care how young you may be, you listen to me this morning about the help of the Lord. You don't go out and marry nobody until you say it. Until they say it, and you got a good understanding of what real love is.
Amen.
Because real love ain't gonna let you go, just leave them as soon as they get on your nerve, and real love ain't gonna let them leave you as soon as you get on their. And listen, you gonna get on their nerves, and they gonna get on your nerve. It's gonna happen. I don't care how much you love somebody. Take them love glasses off and live a little bit, and you're going to get on somebody's nerve, and they're going to get on your nerve. It's going to happen.
That's right.
Now, we all know my wife never gets on my nerve.
Okay.
I get on her nerve, she get on mine.
Yeah.
But we love one another, and the way that we love one another is because God gives us what we need.
Yes.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
This is how it works. How can we go about marrying somebody, God's institution, enter into that thing without God as the foundation of it?
Yeah.
We need God as the foundation, and his foundation is love.
Yeah.
All right? And so if you pursue anything else, I promise you it's going to come to naught, one way or another. Well, you know what? I know this person, and they wasn't saved, and they married, and they woo-woo. Okay, but get into the intricate details of their life, and you'll learn something. See? May the Lord help us.
Amen.
May God help us.
Thank the Lord.
And so what we need to do is we need to start with God's love, and the way that we do that, we don't know how to love correctly, even though, listen, I'm not taking your natural love away from you. I know that people have natural love. What I'm saying is, it's not enough. It's not going to be enough. You're going to need the love of God. You're going to need that love in order to power you through in these difficult situations.
Amen.
And one thing I learned is because, and this, baby, don't take this back, but this is true. The person you love the most is your spouse.
Amen.
They are the closest to you. The Bible says they that were two become one flesh. Yeah. And so don't nothing hurt like your wife or your husband can hurt you. Don't nothing hurt like that.
Amen.
All right? So what I found is if you can love like that, then you can love everybody else. Because they can't hurt you like they can hurt you. You see?
All right.
May the Lord help us. They know I was going to get in all of that. But may the Lord bless and help us and stand by and be with us. I want to encourage you to do not run from the love of God. And I want to encourage you, if you got nothing else out of what I said, is God has more love. He is love, so therefore he has more love. If your love is getting low, go to the source of love. He can get you some more. All right? You're going to have to meet the requirement through salvation. You may have to humble yourself. You may have to beg, plead, fast, pray, whatever it is. But it's us that's in the need on this deal. And so let us meet the requirement.
Amen.
I'll give you some other scriptures. I'm not going to read them. I want you to write them down just so you'll know where they're at. If you already know where they're at, write them down anyway. How about that? Leviticus 19 and 18, Matthew 22, 39, Matthew 5, 43 and 44, Matthew 22, 37. It talks about a lot of different types of love. It talks about the neighbor. It talks about enemies. It talks about loving neighbor as self. It talks about loving God, all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. It talks about all of those things. You can't love like God wants you to love without him. I'm encouraging you to get God's love in your heart. Get more love. All right? Love is an intense feeling of deep affection. All right, if you're not clear what love is, I think we all know what love is. All right, strength. God has more strength for us. Somebody go to Isaiah 40 and 29. I want you to know that this is, these scriptures is on down through 31. But these scriptures are some of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. Some of them. I have a lot of them, so I guess that ain't saying a whole lot. But I love this scripture because it helps so much. I'm going to start at 28. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?"
Amen.
He's the only entity on this earth that does not get tired.
Yeah.
It's God, all right?
Lord.
Neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And I want you to get a hold of verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint.
The Lord.
And to them that have no might, he increases strength. All right. And so God has more strength for us. All right. What he does is, if you don't have strength to begin with, I've seen this. I've been a recipient of this. I've been so sick that I had no strength, natural strength in my body. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't eat. I've been sick like that. When I was a child, I had the German measles, rubella. And that measles was killing people. We never got a vaccination. We never went to the doctor. I'm not saying vaccination. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what my parents did with us.
Yeah.
We never did any of that. Most, if not all of us, had it. And none of us died, and we are all strong today, those that are still living.
Amen. Praise God.
And I'm telling you, that thing would just, kind of like COVID, knock you down and beat you up bad.
Yeah.
All right? But God gave us the strength, and he healed our bodies, and he helped us. So God is a healer, and he is a strength provider. It says, he giveth power to the faint. And so in the next scripture, it talks about young people getting weary and young people fainting and getting tired. Everybody goes through this. Whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, you're going to face some kind of weakness, some kind of a low point in your strength. And God has, again, not just strength, but he has more strength. You know how you know that? Because it says, he increaseth strength.
All right? So you already had some, and it gives you more. You understand? God has that for us. And so if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're beat down in your mind, in your spirit, if you're not where you need to be in terms of a long life's way and doesn't look like things are going to get better, I want to encourage you that God has exactly what you need, and he's got more than you could ever use, all right? He's got more strength for you, all right? And so God is able to bless us in these ways. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young then shall utterly fail. But, excuse me, here's a requirement. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Renew means more. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. There's another scripture that in Deuteronomy 33 and 25, the last portion of it says, he'll give you strength as your day. Yeah. All right? And so you won't get 2 days at once. Last I checked, you only get one at a time. And so God will give you the strength that you need for your day. May the Lord help us. But we have to wait on the Lord. How many times have we went and tried to gain and get strength from alternate sources? All right? And how well does that work out? How many times do we get impatient and do something on our own and realize we get out in the middle of that thing and we don't have the strength to complete that deal? May the Lord help us. The requirement in this one is wait on the Lord. Wait on him. You've given your heart to the Lord already. He's promised to give you what it is that you need. Wait on the Lord. Say, Lord, I need some strength. Let him know about it, and then expect him to give you what it is that you need. He's going to do that. That's the way that he is. He loves us, and so he's not telling us a lie. He's going to bless us, and he's going to help us. He's going to give us the strength that we need. Again, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is that we need, God has that kind of strength for us. May the Lord help us. May he encourage our hearts. He's got more than what we'll ever need. I never met anybody that didn't need mercy. Not one person. I never met anybody that didn't need more mercy. I'm saved and sanctified, been saved for a long time. A minister, a pastor, a father, a husband, all kinds of things. I need God's mercy. Why are you playing? I need God's mercy right now today. There's a scripture that says, it is because of the, I'm messing this up, somebody find that for us and read it for us. It's because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Amen. Because his compassion, they don't fail, they fail not. That's to the unsaved and that's to the saved. All right? We need God's mercy. We need more mercy. Matter of fact, we talked about this morning in the Sunday school where we can be doing wrong and not really being aware of it. You still need mercy. Because what mercy is defined as is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. If we're doing wrong, we've done wrong. And so what naturally follows that means that we can be punished, we can be harmed because of that. You see? But mercy is, remember David was being, Brother David was being chased by Saul? Remember that? And Saul messed around and went to sleep one night, and David was close by and could have cut his head off because Saul was trying to kill Brother David. He showed him mercy, didn't he? And God blessed him for that. Listen, we are in no position to not extend mercy because the way that, and I'm going to give you the requirement, the way that we give mercy is what? Yeah, give it. Matthew 5 and 7, what's it say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
So we are never in a position where we can't give of more mercy. We gotta, maybe we have to go to God and say, Lord, help me to be merciful in this situation, because what, I'll be honest with you, things can happen that make you want to get somebody and get them good. That's just the truth. But Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. Help me to wrestle with the angel like Jacob did. Help me to go to the Garden of Gethsemane like Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
And Lord, help me to stay there until I get something from you where I can be merciful, because I know I'm going to need your mercy. I know that.
Yes, Lord.
If I don't know anything else, I know I need God's mercy.
Yes.
All right? Let's talk about one passage of scripture, and I'm going to sit down. I appreciate your time, your attention. I appreciate your prayers for me. I want you to know that God is dealing with my heart as he's dealing with your heart. His goal and his aim is that we make heaven our home and that we become more like him from day to day. He's able to help us with that. The problem is, are we willing to meet the requirement that's going to get us to a place where we have what we need from the Lord? Because the problem is not that he doesn't have more. It's that we are not willing to meet those requirements many times. May God stand by and be with us. May he bless us and may he help us. All right, Matthew 18, 23. Going to read down through verse number 35. It says here, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. If I was to ask you who the king would be in this parable, who would be the king to us?
Jesus.
God, right? God's the king. All right? And so in verse number 24, it says, he began to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. And so the king's looking at folks that owe him things, right? He's looking at them, and he's saying, this one owes me this much, that one owes me that much. And so it's like God looking at us and the debt that we owe. I'm going to explain to you what 10,000 talents would be in today's U.S. dollars. Give me a number. What do you think it'd be?
I'll just say it in the
morning. No, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. What do you think it would be? How much money would it be? 10,000 talents in U.S. dollars in today's money. How much money do you think that would be?
50,000.
Okay, 50,000. Do we have anyone else?
$1 million.
A million. Do you have anyone else?
10 million.
10 million. Anyone else? Nobody's even got close to touching it yet.
Wow.
Yeah. You see? Higher. Somebody help me out here.
100 million.
100 million. Higher.
Billions. Wow.
$6 billion is the equivalent of what this scripture is talking about. See, the debt that we owe the Lord, the debt that we owe him, we couldn't pay it. I don't care who you are, we're not able to do it. All right? And so what it is, what we have is a debt that even though we're endeavoring to live for the Lord and please God, and we were wanting to pay on that debt, we still are going to end up owing the Lord in the end. And so God knows that. God knows that about me and you. He knows that. And so what it is, he says in verse number 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. All right? And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Now the Lord knew. So he was going to be sold, and his family and all that he had was going to be sold, and that still wasn't going to touch the debt. That wasn't going to be worth $6 billion, I can tell you that right now. And so what happens is, when we get in these situations, I want you to get a hold of this morning, you'll get a hold of nothing else. When we get low before the Lord, and we realize really what we owe him, we get so low. We get broken spirit. We get contrite. We tell, we make all kinds of promises to God. Lord, I'm going to pay you off. You just give me a little time. You give me a 100 million years, I'll probably get that debt paid off. Right? But what about when the Lord says, okay, I'll have mercy on you. What about then?
Help us, Lord.
As I was going through this, it touched my heart.
Yeah.
Because the Lord, in his mercy, remember I told you, he ain't going to tell you to do something that he's not willing to do himself.
Amen.
And so the Lord, in his mercy, he not only didn't sell him into slavery and take all that he had, but he literally forgave him of all that debt. All of it. And that's how it is when we come to Christ. There are sins that I have committed that I forgot about. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. There are things that I have done. Other people remember it. They might tell me about it. But I was sinning day to day. That's a whole lot of sin.
Yeah, man.
And I was hurting the kingdom of God. I was hurting other people. And so I know that the debt that I owe is a great debt. But when I came to God, though, he said a broken spirit and a contrite heart he would not despise.
Right.
He's already standing at the door and knocking.
Yeah.
He wants you to come in. He sent his son, the only begotten son, the only one he had. He sent him here for the purpose of giving you and I an opportunity to make it right with God, to get that debt that we could not pay, to get that fixed with him and God before we leave him.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. And so when I came to that altar of prayer, he forgave the sins that I knew about. He forgave the sins that I forgot about. He forgave the sins that Lord, may the God have mercy upon us. The sins that I would have continued to commit if I was in sin, he forgave those too. He forgave it all. But he was in a position to punish me eternally. What could I tell the Lord? Could I tell him I didn't know about him? When I was born, my mama was saved. I'm talking about real saved. So I can't tell him I didn't know about him. Some people, they have mercy because of that. They don't know what you and I know. But I couldn't tell God that because I knew about God. Now, when I say no, I'm not talking about maybe what the Bible says or what other people says. I saw God in my mother.
Amen.
So I could not deny that. But yet and still, I was disobeying the Lord. And so what can I tell the Lord if he were to say, that's it, that's all, you're going into judgment. There's nothing I can say. But he extended mercy and mercy and more mercy because he didn't want me to be lost. He forgave the debt that I owe, saints of God. The servant therefore fell down, this is verse number 26, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. God is so good. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant, remember what I asked you before, I want you to think about this, because this is what we do when we deal one with another. This is what we do. This is an example of what we can do sometime. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. You know what 100 pence is worth? $1.32 in one place. You said $14? Don't even matter, does it? It ain't 6 billion.
$6 billion, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People do, listen, pray for me, saints of God, because I need help here.
Yeah.
When somebody do me wrong, I still don't like it.
No.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. So I say, I have to go to the Lord repeatedly. And I know somebody gonna do me wrong. I know that.
Yeah.
Whether I was saved or not saved, somebody gonna do you wrong, that's just part of life.
Right.
And so why am I still struggling with the fact that somebody did me wrong? Lord, help me. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get past the fact that it bothers me that they hurt me, but I do know that God has mercy for me.
Yes.
And every opportunity that I have to extend mercy to somebody by the grace and help of God, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Because I need his mercy.
Yes.
I need his mercy for me, just in case I mess up. And then I need his mercy in me in case somebody else do me wrong. I need that.
Yes.
And God has all the mercy that we will ever need. Listen to me. The reason why God has it, I'm going to tell you, and it's any of these things that God has. The Bible says something to this along these lines. He says, you have not, because
what?
You don't ask. I'm going to stop right there. There is so much love and grace and mercy and strength and whatever else you may need, because there was more exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think to begin with. But guess what? People ain't asking for it. What they really need, they don't really want. We talked about this morning, recompense, don't recompense evil for evil. And so what people are asking, the second part of that scripture says, you have that because you ask amiss to consume it upon your love. And so instead of asking for God to give us a more merciful spirit and mindset and attitude, we don't want that. We want God to give him, and if he needs help, we'll help him get him. And that's what we're asking God for. Get them, Lord, and I'll help you if you need to. I got something to help you. That's what we do. I'm talking about in spirit. I'm talking about in the subconscious, deep down in the crevices of our minds or our hearts. These are the types of things that can happen. And God is saying, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God is saying $14 versus $6 billion. You see, he went and grabbed that servant. He choked him up, beat him up, and did him wrong. He did. He had just been forgiven of a $6 billion unpayable debt. And now he's finding somebody that owes him $14, and he's going to beat him up and do him wrong. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
And so the Lord is wanting us to know that God has more. I'll acknowledge to you that you may be in a place where you had some of what you need, but you're getting low or it has run out. I'll acknowledge that. I've been there. But I want to encourage you this morning as a takeaway, God has more. He's got more grace. He's got more love. He's got more mercy, more strength. What you need in the natural, he's got more of that. He's got all that you could ever want or ever need. In Acts 10 and 34, it says that God is no respecter of persons. That means he don't care where you come from. He don't care how much money you got. He don't care how little money you got. He don't care what your educational status is. He don't care what your job. You can't come to God with all those things. He just loves you, and he wants to help you. He's no respecter of person. That's why we can't be respecter of person, because we want to be like Christ. And then in Psalms 84 and 11, it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And so the requirement, if we stop at no good thing, we're in trouble, y'all. We got to go all the way. It says, no good thing will he withhold. So first of all, it's got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
He's not going to keep it from us, but the requirement is we got to do right. We got to do right. All right? And if we'll do right, he'll give us what it is that we need, whatever it might be. I appreciate your time and your attention. I appreciate your prayers for me. Sometimes you get a message and you say, Lord, help me. I mean, sometimes more than others. It's always, Lord, help me, but sometimes it's more than others. I want to recognize and realize, saints of God, I want to recognize and realize that God has more than I could ever ask or think. I want to recognize that there's a requirement for me to get it. And so the best thing I can do is find out what that requirement is, meet that requirement, and then once you meet that, Bible says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so what I want to know is, what is the requirement? Lord, help me to meet that requirement, and then I'm coming straight to you, Lord, because I got some needs before you. I got some things I need done. And God will bless. He will help us. May the Lord help us this morning.
Amen.
May he bless and encourage our hearts. May he stand by and be with us. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home. I'm not going by myself. I want you to go with me. You may as well. It's a good place to go. You pray for me. I will be praying for you. Thank you for your time, your attention.